Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
What's going on in the Capitol and how it affects you? State Senator Tony Wong joins Tony and Melissa in the morning right now on WICC 600.
State Senator Tony Wong is here. Mr. Wong, it is a pleasure to have you here. How are you this morning, my friend?
It's great to be with you, and a happy, happy birthday to you, Tony. Well, it's great to be 25 again.
Yes, it certainly is. Twice over, my friend. Almost three times over. My gosh.
Well, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much, Tony. I certainly do appreciate that. Let's get rolling here because we're pressed for time. All right. The Public Health Committee is voting today on the religious exemptions on vaccines. Is there any idea which way they're going to vote?
Well, no, but I have to tell you, it's quite unusual for it to be fast-tracking like this when we had the public hearing last Wednesday on February 19th, and we had over 400 testimonies that lasted over 20-plus hours and thousands more of email, and you had nearly 4,000 people go into the Capitol to kind of address this issue. It really is kind of remarkable how we're fast-tracking this without really taking time to absorb all the information, all the data, and all the testimony that people have given. And now we're going to vote on this right away. It seems kind of unusual. And unfortunately, we've seen it happen way too much in the rush to kind of have poll votes and a lot of other votes. It seems like trying to do a quick one over on people. That's kind of the frustration I have in the fast track of this. Now, when it comes to the vote, this is the Public Health Committee. It's not the House or the Senate. And the way we work in the process, it has to come out of committee with a joint favorable approval, which is a majority. And if it gets a majority, then it sits on the docket of the House and the Senate to be voted on. But if it doesn't get passed out, it becomes a dead bill. So this is going to be a tough vote either way. But the challenge is it is on the committee members in public health, and there are 25 of them that will cast the vote today that will determine the fate of this bill moving forward. It's not the end of the road, but it is a major step and hurdle that needs to be overcome. And really, it's really a tough vote either way. And this is one of the things I wanted to share with your listeners is, as legislators, we're not always perfect, and we don't always make the right decision. But one of the hardest things we have to do is we have to cast votes. And it's a lot harder than people sitting as Monday morning quarterbacks saying this way or that way. But it's a real challenge. People need to make votes and be accountable to them. So that's the real challenge today in public health. And for me, I learned from the testimony that you're going to have to address the issue of the greater public good versus parental rights and the rights of individuals to their own body in regards to delivery of devices, and not government. So I am leaning toward protecting parental rights and the rights of individuals to make decisions on their own bodies, not government. But wow. Nevertheless, I won't have a vote today in public health.
Yeah, no, this is going to be a tough go for sure, and it'll be interesting to see if it does move on to the legislative process. Another thing that I wanted to know about votes when it comes to a different topic that's really interesting, and it kind of gets you scratching your head a little bit, Senator, and that's the Penfield Reef Lighthouse. Now, this is right in your district. This is in Fairfield, of course, one of the most well-known landmarks. It's been abandoned for quite some time, and we know that the soon-to-be owners, they want to store cremated remains there. They want to use it as a columbarium. And I know that this has been discussed. I know a bill actually got through and it was approved last year by the House, but it kind of sat on the Senate calendar and never came up for a vote last year. Will it be voted on this year? And what are your thoughts on it? Do you think it's something that should be passed, or do you think it's just kind of creepy? What are your thoughts?
Well, as a person who enjoyed the beach and the view of the historical Penfield Lighthouse, it really is a landmark and a identifier for the town of Fairfield. People walk the beaches and reside on the beaches in the summer and point to that as a beautiful landmark that reflects our history as a landfaring city and the connection to the sea. But I have to tell you, it's fascinating that this was a bill that passed out of committee, voted by the House last year, had a public hearing, and virtually nobody in town knows about it. Isn't that kind of remarkable that now we get the opportunity, and thank you very much for raising this as a point of conversation. There was a public hearing last week in which only three entities testified, and they were the attorney representing the organization itself, and another interested party that supported it. The general public, the community of Fairfield, the beach community, were absolutely not aware of it. I think this is where transparency is going to play out, where because of your initiative in bringing it up in this talk radio, that we're going to be able to share this information, get feedback from residents of the town and the beach-going community that wants to be able to offer an opinion whether they want to be able to look at a historical landmark that is now going to be a possibility of a columbarium, but it's another word for a cemetery for ashes. It's well-intentioned. They offered that they were going to do the greater public good in maintaining a historical landmark. There are trade-offs to it, but nevertheless, when we're making decisions up in Hartford, and when you talk about a bill that went through almost to the last stages of approval, and people seem surprised in the town of Fairfield when this issue is brought up, it seems kind of a disconnect, doesn't it?
I mean, it does. It definitely does. But I also think that when you have people who now own the property, I mean, like when I look at it, so my parents have lived in Fairfield for as long as I can remember. But, you know, growing up there, yes, there is a little bit of an oddity when you look out and you have to explain to your young children, oh, that's where people are buried. But I also think, you know, right now, what do we explain to our kids right now? You know, what is in there? I have no idea. I mean, I can remember being a kid and my parents having no idea what to tell me because I would say, why can't we go out there to see it? And, well, no one can go out there to see it, Melissa. And I think, well, what in the world is in there? So to me, I think it's always been kind of an avoided subject. I don't think anybody's either really addressed it, or if they have, they kind of like brushed it off. So, I mean, yes, there's something very eerie about it. But I know just from being a former Fairfield resident, when it came to be like, yes, I kind of took a step back. But then I thought about it and I think, how many people have spread their ashes in Long Island Sound and our kids are swimming in it? I mean, I know that it kind of continues on and things kind of roll out, if you will. Like, I'm sure that they're long out to sea by now. But when you think about it, I don't know. But part of it is like, ah, if it's being unused space, I mean, we're not really telling our kids anyways what's going on. And they're like, I don't know what's in there right now. So I don't know. To me, I agree. I think that the town residents, anybody who goes to Fairfield County should probably know what's going on in there. But I also think, you know, if they own the lighthouse and they want to use that space, I mean, they kind of have that right, don't they? I mean, if you own a property, you don't really have to ask the town what you're going to do with it all the time, right?
Well, it is owned actually by the federal government, the land itself.
Right, correct.
And you require a lease.
Correct,
but
yes.
Melissa, you are always a Fairfield resident. Doesn't matter where you go, you are always a Fairfielder. That being said, I think this is the interesting part. We're now having a conversation where people that will be impacted will have input. And I think I want to thank you for raising the point and having that conversation. It's unfortunate that it's gone through last year so far to the process, and now this year being raised again. And thankfully, we're now going to have a conversation before it goes up to the vote. When you contrast it to how much attention was paid to the vaccination issue and the testimony of having people's input, right?
That's fair.
You
yep,
look
that's
at
true.
The other bill that
that's
literally
true.
Had the same public hearing,
mm-hmm.
but only three people came up and talked about it. That will have a dramatic impact on our community, and very little was known about it. So it is about shining the light on it, transparency, letting the people in the broader community have that debate. But ultimately, for me, I look at it as a historical landmark that is tied integrally into the identification of Fairfield. And that is a historical value and a historical significance that I place heavy weight on. And I'm concerned about how it's going to be portrayed down the road and how it's going to reflect on the town of Fairfield
and the
quality of life in the community.
No, that's so fair. That's fair. Senator, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but thank you so much, and we will be in touch with you again next week. Have a great rest of your week.
Happy birthday again, Tony.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. And I just like to go on record as saying, when it's my time, just stand me up with the trash and let them let them just take me out to sea, and that'll be the end of it.
Okay. Tony, it's so wonderful to have you always have the last word. It's beautiful.
Thank you, my friend. Thank
you. Happy birthday.
We'll talk to you next week.
More,
thank
okay?
you so
Bye-bye.
Much. Bye-bye.
An unexpected surprise. Senator Richard Blumenthal just walked into the studio. How are you, Senator?
Thank you, guys.
We're glad to have you here this morning.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
As you know, this past weekend, Tony and I were talking about this earlier this weekend, or this morning, I should say, the Nevada caucuses happened. And we know that Bernie Sanders was looking like pretty much the victor in that case. Still a very long way to go. But it actually draws a bigger question this morning, Senator, and it has to do with the voting. A lot of people were worried going into the Nevada caucuses because they were using iPads. Many people didn't even know how to use them. iPads, I find, also opens up that area of maybe it'll get hacked. I worry about the Wi-Fi, things like that. So let's talk a little bit about election fraud and security. What is being done not only here in Connecticut, but across the nation? I mean, we're not far away from the presidential election. We certainly have a lot of local races happening that matter. So what are we doing to make sure we can get accurate votes, and not just here, but across the country?
Well, the simple answer, Melissa, is not enough. And I have proposed a number of bills along with my colleagues to guarantee more election security, which is sadly lacking in many states. When it comes right down to it, the good old paper trail, putting the marker on the paper and keeping the paper so it can be checked, sounds kind of out of date, but that is the most effective guarantee of election security. And too many states fail to have that paper trail. Connecticut does, commendably. Connecticut has better security than many other states. There's also the threat of Russian interference, which is real. And in fact, the intelligence community and my colleagues on the Republican side, as well as Democratic side, acknowledge that Russia is going to do what it did in 2016.
And they're probably not going to stop. It exists, and it's going to keep happening.
Their goal, by the way, in my view, is to create confusion, chaos. Whether they support one candidate or another, what they really want to do is discredit our democracy so that they look good by comparison. You know, Russia has a constitution. Russia has elections. We know the constitution is meaningless. We know the elections are rigged. But they want to make it look like our democracy is less credible than even their system of government. So they are working overtime through their military, actually. They use military agencies to fund the hackers and the disinformation and propaganda that shows up on Facebook and elsewhere. And so we need to do much more about election security. I have a bill, for example, that will require anybody who is solicited by a foreign government, any foreign government, or accepts any offer of assistance from a foreign government, which is illegal in election campaigns, to report it. The failure to report means that the FBI can't investigate. So this act called the Duty to Report Act, I have tried to bring to the floor a number of times. It's been blocked by the majority leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell. I think there is much more we can and should do. And of course, the whole idea of caucuses, I think, is frankly out of date. I think the caucuses should be replaced by real elections rather than groups of people coming together and, you know, in some way submitting their numbers of...
It's a bit archaic. Yeah.
It is archaic.
A little bit.
And obsolete.
Mm-hmm. Sure, absolutely. And I know that we're running very short on time, but really quickly, what are you guys doing in the day ahead? It sounds like you have some important business ahead of you.
I am going to be calling for a major bold initiative to help Puerto Rico, because my visit just in the last week, in fact, I was there for about 48 hours, Friday, Saturday, shows me that it's still an island in crisis. Schools are shut down, literally, in the southwest part of the state, all the schools. Young people are coming to school in tents, temporary facilities with open-air tents. And healthcare facilities are still impaired. Roads and bridges are being rebuilt. Power plants are down. What we need is a major program to help. And I'm also then going to Electric Boat, where I'm hoping we can work with the Chief of Naval Operations to make sure we build two submarines there, which is a source of jobs. Very important that we keep employment going, our defense industrial base, but also for the sake of our national security, we need that second submarine. And right now, the Trump budget has cut out the second Virginia-class submarine, which we thought we would get to build there, and we do need to build it.
All right, Senator Richard Blumenthal, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us this morning, and we'll talk to you our regular Thursday, right?
I'll be there.
Okay, we look forward to it.